This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, you had to stay up Saturday night to watch that. Hopefully you did. It was on ESPN. The Mavs go into overtime again, and Luka scored 36 in his NBA-leading 17th triple-double. The Mavs scored the last 7 points of regulation. Finney Smith was hitting threes in the OT to basically pull away. Luka with 36-14 and a career-high 19 assists, including a lefty through the legs and one dunk pass to Maxey. It was awesome. Mike Fisher, Cowboys and Mavericks insider, joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll get to the Mavericks and Luka in a second. What did you take from Mike McCarthy's big Cowboy update to the team press conference, Fish?
Yeah, McCarthy with a Friday presser, and we can kind of rattle through some of what he addressed. The first thing that he was asked, and I bet you he's glad about it, was the Dak Prescott stuff. Relationship with Dak Prescott, how's he look, how's he feeling, all that. And I thought McCarthy went way out of his way to try to put to bed the idea that Dak might be in any way unhappy and that Dak might be in any way underappreciated by saying he's been great in the meetings, he's been great on the field. Everybody told me what a delight he is to work with, and that's what I'm finding to be the case so far. You know, I'm just now getting to know him, but he's always upbeat, and he's clearly very driven. So whatever lingering issues there are, as Brian Broaddus and G-Bag Nation has talked a great deal about, lingering issues from the contract dispute. As far as the coach is concerned, those are behind them now. And I continue to think, Sean, as I've said to Brian Broaddus, that this guy in particular does a good job of compartmentalizing things. So over in that box over there, he can still have a chip on his shoulder about a contract thing that didn't go well. And over here in another box, he can be upbeat and driven with a smile on his face.
Yeah, Moose Johnson went on FS1 the other day, and you wrote about this, and he's like, yeah, absolutely, I think Dak is bitter. I would be bitter. I was bitter during my Cowboy contract negotiations. It's just common sense. It's human nature. So I fully expect Dak to be totally professional and a little bit ticked off and angry at the Cowboys at the same time. But is he going to be doing it with the same agent? What do you make of Dak's agent, Todd France, leaving his agency, CAA?
Well, it's funny that that story came across in Sports Business, some Sports Business publication broke that story. And then, you know, I tweeted, just retweeted it. I said, I wonder if this has anything to do with Dak. This is like, I don't know, 8 o'clock on Friday night. And a bunch of Tolos came in the comments underneath and said, that's what we're asking you, Fisher. That's your job. So, Sean, as you know, Sean Shreve and I kind of dug around on this a little bit last night. Two sources telling us that they don't think it means anything in regard to Dak Prescott, that Prescott is still represented as far as they know, and the Cowboys agree with this as far as they know, by Todd France. And then one source telling us, exclusive, that this was just a matter of Todd France's contract with CAA being up, and they couldn't agree to new terms. So it isn't any big volcano of problems. It isn't necessarily a result of the agent not being able to get long-term deals for a handful of his high-profile contract players that he works with.
Yeah.
And it does not directly impact any dissatisfaction between Dak Prescott and Todd France. So maybe, unfortunately for the Cowboys, at this point, Dak Prescott has not fired Todd France, not yet.
And I guess the other thing is that it doesn't really matter right now because they can't sign him till what, January anyway. You know, so like if he got a new agent, it would be, you know, a ton of time. It's not like they're doing in the middle of negotiations. They can't even talk right now, right?
Correct. And you know, it's,
you know,
it's
a great, we all know
legally,
that those
legally,
rules don't
legally,
mean
yeah, legally. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, it is a good. That's a good point, though, Chop, because this is essentially a back burner issue now. It doesn't mean that you can't continue to work on your relationship with Todd France. You can do that.
Right.
You know, he's got other clients. He's got other business interests. You're going to bump into him in the saloon if they, you know, ever allow us to bump into each other in saloons anymore. So, yeah, you can still hope that your relationship is more positive with Todd France than I think it presently is. And for Dak Prescott, there's no indication that there's anything about to implode there.
Mike Fisher here on The Fan. What else did Mike McCarthy have to say?
He talked about position changes and the idea that Van Der Esch will be the Mike, that Jalen Smith will be the Will, and that the positions are somewhat interchangeable nowadays in the way defenses play. But I do think that having Leighton Van Der Esch being in the middle of the field so he can use his range, which is obviously is impressive when he's healthy, and then a point of attack guy, I think that makes a lot of sense. So if you're trying to have him be the next Brian Urlacher, and he's got the physical ability to do that, and he's in fact demonstrated as a rookie that he's on that path, then middle linebacker is the place for him. He was also asked about Chidi Awuzie at safety, and he didn't exactly say yes, but he said he avoided saying no so strongly that it seems like it's a good hint that they are at least toying with the idea of the cornerback Chidi playing some safety. The subject of guys like Darrell Worley, the former Raiders cornerback, comes up. Reggie Robinson II, the rookie, that idea comes up too at safety. But Worley did an interview with Sports Illustrated. He said, nobody's told me that. So I'm not aware that they're switching my position. We'll see. I will say this, Sean. If you're on a team where they're looking for starting cornerbacks and you were a starting cornerback and the head coach, the new head coach, is saying maybe to moving you to safety when you already know that starting safeties are Clinton Ha-Ha Dix and Xavier Woods, that doesn't look very good for Chidi Awuzie.
Man, that's a great point.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll take this, just like Dak Prescott, maybe he'll take this as an insult and go raise his level of play. But the writing seems to be on the wall for Chidi, who, of course, is in the final year of his contract.
Fish, what's their practices going to look like, their practice plan?
The most important thing, as far as I'm concerned, is do we get to see them? And they're still working on that. And that could happen Friday. They will have a in-shells practice on Friday at the Star, and that'll, in their view, that'll be the start of training camp, even though technically we've already been in it for 2 weeks in a sense. And McCarthy says he wants to be outside. I think Brian Broaddus has reported that outside in the morning and maybe afternoons at the Ford Center is a viable plan. But Coach McCarthy wants to be outside all the time, as much as possible, is what he said. Now, Chop. He hasn't gone through a Texas August yet.
No.
We'll see. We'll see if he doesn't change his mind by Monday. But the beginning plan, because if you look at the temperature, I know we do the temperature every morning, Sean Sharif does, so I'm sure you've looked at it. 101, 101, 101, 101. And McCarthy's going to go get himself some 101 on Friday morning, and then we'll see after that. But one aspect of what they will do, there will be, and I've heard almost every team talk this way, there will be more tackling. There'll be more emphasis on tackling, more practice on tackling, technique and more. A lot of coaches think that's the one area that's going to really suffer here because we've been away from football.
Rick Carlisle brings up Larry Bird and Jason Kidd in describing Luka Doncic after his performance Saturday night. Did that win over Milwaukee change your mind at all about the whole clutch concern with the Mavericks after what they did against the Bucks?
I'd like to see him do it more than once, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
No, I don't think once is enough. I think what they did against in the previous game against the Clippers, I think a lot of things happened in that game. One thing, I think the Clippers are developing a blueprint for how to try to control Luka. And they have the defensive personnel to do it. They can throw Kawhi Leonard at you. And then when he needs a break, they throw Paul George at you. And I can't think of any team in the NBA that has two guys like that. which is
and
why
they have
Clippers,
Beverly.
Correct. So they, you know, they've got defensive guys all around, and then those first two guys that I mentioned are also outstanding, obviously, on the offensive end. So no, but if it convinced the Mavericks that they can get over the clutch hump, then that's the most important thing. You mentioned Rick's praise of Luka, and of course the numbers speak for themselves. Luka's numbers in the bubble are ridiculous. He is third in the bubble in scoring at 33.5 points. He's fifth in the bubble at rebounding at 11.5 points, and he's first in the bubble in assists at 11.5 points. It's preposterous. And what Carlisle said over the weekend, he says, I would pay to watch him play, and I don't say that about many guys. I think Rick has said that before. Here's what he doesn't do. He doesn't do comparisons.
Yeah,
you know, Chop,
yeah.
How we all, and scouts do this too. You're trying to paint a picture of what this guy looks like,
yep.
What he plays like. So you make a comp. It's a natural thing. We do it all the time. Dak reminds me of, you know, Alex Smith or Steve McNair or whatever. It's the way guys do it. And Carlisle has always been extremely reluctant of comparing Luka for whatever reason. And he'll always say, I mean, he said it 1,000 times, I don't compare him to anybody. He's just the first Luka. He's his own man. But this weekend he said what he does on the court in terms of involving people and having vision and being in control reminds me of Larry Bird, reminds me of Jason Kidd. When you're talking about court vision, he might as well have said Magic Johnson too.
Yeah.
Because it's true. And by the time you do court vision on Bird, Magic, and Kidd, you've given the ultimate compliment to a 21-year-old second-year NBA player who's getting hosed a little bit because the MVP voting shut down on March 11th. If you could take a revote right now, you would have to reevaluate a little bit just how many votes Luka Doncic will get for MVP. And by the way, he'll get some. He'll finish fourth or he'll finish fifth. But this is an MVP annual, perennial MVP candidate unfolding before our eyes.
And Denver is in the 3 spot. Of course, Mavs are going to be the 7th. The Clippers are 1 game up on Denver. Those two teams play Wednesday, Mike.
Right. I think the Clippers are a bigger, better, badder, stronger, smarter team. But the Mavericks, privately, would love to avoid the Clippers. I certainly would. Not that Denver wouldn't be favored in that series. Denver would be favored in the series against Dallas. But Denver doesn't have an arsenal of up and over the top stars. They have the Joker at center, who's sometimes unstoppable, and he's, I guess we'd call him a budding star, but they don't have a Kawhi, and they don't have a Paul George. So, yeah, absolutely, go Nuggets.
If you were to put a round, a ceiling round on them this year, because you know, we talked about this a minute ago, this is, to me, like I cannot be disappointed about what happens this season. This season's already been a success because Luka has taken that jump. I'm just going to enjoy this ride. What would you put the ceiling on for them?
Yeah, Choppy, the first thing you're saying, they've skipped a step to get this far.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to get this good this fast. They haven't been a playoff team since 2016, and the presence of Luka Doncic has completely turned around the franchise. They will be underdogs in the first round no matter who they play, and the 7 seed should be an underdog to the 2 seed. So I think I'm not going to be too disappointed if they play a competitive round one and develop their scar tissue and take it with them into the offseason and go get better. Porzingis said the other day about playing the Clippers, he said, yeah, you know, they're going to go back to the drawing board and learn some things about us. We're going to do the same thing about them. But then he almost admitted the reality of it when he said something to the effect of, you know, and then we're going to play them in the playoffs and we're going to get a lot of experience. That's the reality of it. And again, he's brutally honest, Porzingis, and I admire it. At the same time, who could not like the attitude of Luka Doncic, who says, we can play anybody. We can beat anybody. We know we have it in us, even though we're young. And again, he demonstrated that, Sean, as you mentioned when you talk about the win over the Bucks.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.